So this is the second Sunday of Lent. Loving God, we gather today to explore your promise to always have our best interests at heart. Help us as we think about the promises we make too. Lord, you gave Abraham a promise that seemed far-fetched at first, yet you confirmed it in holy visions. Lord, we are sorry when we fail to believe in your promises, when we think we must have heard you wrong. Forgive us for doubting and not trusting enough. Help us to have faith like Abraham and deepen our trust in you, knowing that your promises may not have been fulfilled yet. Forgive us when we lose heart. Help us to wait upon you. And bless us with faith that nothing can shake. Amen. Father God, you fulfilled your promise of a Saviour in your Son, Jesus Christ, who grants forgiveness of sin. We are forgiven. Amen. And now Andrew
Amen.
has our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 12. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land and take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him, cut them in two and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi in Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks be to
be to
God.
God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 27. And if you would like to say it with me, please do. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my heart will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Andrew has our second reading.
The second reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Just having read Psalm 27, what a wonderful psalm that is. And how if one could memorize it or memorize some of the verses, they would be useful things to have in our hearts and minds. You might like to have the Old Testament passage in front of you because I've decided that is what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. This week's Old Testament lesson from Genesis chapter 15 is a passage pregnant with promise. And yes, there is a pun intended. But to get the most of it, it is probably best to explain the context. At the end of Genesis 11, Abraham and Sarai are introduced into the Bible narrative. It is the beginning of an extremely important story. It's notable that in a creation teeming with life and in which God has commanded the people to be fruitful and multiply, that Sarai is the first person to be childless. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children, verse 30 of Genesis 11 tells us. Now, according to the narrative of Genesis, the Lord had a problem. Having scattered people in many nations and many languages so that people would not understand each other, the Lord decided to choose one people to become a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. You can read that in Exodus chapter 19. a nation through which the Lord might bless all other nations. So, in typical divine fashion, the Lord chooses the most unlikely couple, an aging, childless couple, to become the ancestors of this priestly blessing nation. Who says God doesn't have a sense of humour? The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so Abraham and Sarah went. They journeyed to the land and they waited for a child who would become the first of their many descendants, who would in turn become a great nation, blessed to be a blessing. Well, if you know the story, you know that time passed. They went to Egypt. They came back. No child. They became prosperous, even wealthy, but no child. Their nephew Lot separated from them. Lot was captured. Lot was rescued, and still no child. And finally, the Lord broke the silence and said, "Do not be afraid." More good news from the Lord. The first words of Genesis 15 are, "After all these things." In other words, after a great deal of time, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision. "Do not be afraid. I will protect you, and your reward will be great." The words, "do not be afraid," altira in Hebrew, comprise a stock phrase meaning, "You are about to hear good news." Remember the nativity story in Matthew and Luke. Throughout the prophetic books and into the New Testament, when a message from God starts with, "Do not be afraid," it means that good news is about to be heard. Correspondingly, when a message from God starts with, "Woe," well, it's going to be bad news. And what was the good news God spoke? "I am your shield. Your reward will be very great." The choice to translate the Hebrew "sacher" as reward, it isn't ideal. The best way to translate the phrase would be, "What you will receive will be very great." To put it all together, "Good news, Abraham," says the Lord. "You are going to get something totally awesome." A second promise from God. How cool is that? Well, Abraham didn't think so. Abraham's response to the Lord's second promise, well, it was one of lament. Rather than praising God for this new promise, Abraham cried out in pain, regarding the deepest hurt and unfulfilled hope in his life. He and Sarai were still childless. To put Abraham's lament in the form of a psalm, he might have said, "O Lord God, what shall you give me? For I am still childless, and the heir of my house, well, he is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no seed, thus a son of my house will inherit from me." Abraham's lament is personal, full of poignant symbolic language. Abraham basically says to the Lord, "What do I want from you? I have no child." He's already prosperous and wealthy, as we know from Genesis 13 and 14. Basically, Abraham doesn't need any more stuff. The term "son of my house" means slave, one who comes not from the seed of one's body, but is part of the stone of the house. What Abraham desires so deeply is an heir, a seed, an offspring, the continuation of creation. Abraham is looking inside himself, into the deepest hurts and hopes of his body, where his seed comes from. And in his pain, he accuses God and reminds God of the divine promise in Genesis 12. You have given me no seed. And Abraham laments. Before continuing with the story, a word about the power of lament. In the Bible, God does not desire followers who are meek and mild, compliant and quiet, at least not in their relationship to God. And I say thank you because I'm none of those things. God wants sufferers who fight back. God invites us to own and be in touch with the deepest hurts and the brightest hopes in our souls. For Abraham, this hope was to have a child, and after all, the Lord had promised. When we lament or complain to God, the word complain is better, we do many things. Firstly, we make our problems into God's problems. To tell God about our deepest hurts and unmet hopes is to implicate God in those hurts and hopes. It is to align God's desires with ours and to make our problems God's problems. Secondly, when we complain, we cry out to God in the belief that God can and perhaps even will respond to our cries, our wants, our needs, our desires. God has the power and ability to respond. To complain to God is to have faith that God is faithful, both to the creation and to the divine promises. In spite of present circumstances, in which it certainly appears and feels from our perspective that God is not being effectively and faithfully present. Thirdly, when God has made a promise, to complain is to remind the Lord of those as yet unmet promises. In his lament, Abraham was saying that God had not kept his promises. He was saying that God had not yet proven faithful. And how does God respond to the complaint that the Lord has not been faithful? To an angry servant, Abraham, who reminds God of certain unkept promises, such as many descendants. How does God respond to complaints that border on the aggressive? God responds by renewing the promise of many descendants. In fact, God responds by expanding the promise. Again, the Lord declares good news. He says to Abraham, "Gaze up at the heavens and count the stars if you are able. So shall your seed be. As many descendants as there are stars, as there are galaxies." Abraham had looked inside himself to his seed and had been in touch with his deepest buried hurts and hopes. And the creator of the universe responded by telling Abraham to look up, to gaze outside of himself to the heavens that the Lord had created. And then God renewed the promise and expanded on it. I don't think God minds being implicated in our promises. In fact, I believe God welcomes it. Our problems are God's problems. And prayer is in part a way of speaking to God that implicates God in our problems and his promises. And in prayer, we remind God that God has promised to be faithful to the divine promises. And this story tells us that God doesn't mind being held accountable to the divine promises. After all, keeping promises is what God does. And Abraham's response? Well, Abraham trusted. Abraham believed and trusted the promise, however extraordinary it seemed. And the Lord looked at Abraham, both his act of complaining in prayer and the reality that Abraham trusted God's promises. And listen to what God says. God said, as he looked at Abraham, "You're righteous." And then God made a promise to Abraham that is breathtaking in its commitment, a commitment that is so absolute that the Lord ritually commits to die rather than forsake the promise. The Lord repeats the promise of the land, and in the ritual that followed, the Lord says to Abraham, "I promise to give you both descendants and the land. I pledge my very life, the life of God, as surety of this promise. If I fail to keep this promise, let me be slain just as the goat, the sheep, and the ram were slain." Wow. In the Old Testament, we see the promise of the Lord's commitment to Abraham in Genesis 15. And this promise, Christians believe, ultimately led to the very death of the Son of God, Jesus. In order to be faithful to creation, to Abraham and Sarah's descendants, and to the promises of David, the Creator ultimately took on human flesh, walked down the lonely path, and died. And he did so that we might have life. So this morning, let us praise God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our God too. Amen.
Amen.
Andrew's going to lead us in our prayers.
Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, help us to keep trusting your faithfulness. Heavenly Father, as we look at the state of our world, we sometimes start to wonder. When we focus our attention on incredible suffering in Africa, the devastation of so much of the Middle East, the continued war in Ukraine, and the fragile attempts for a ceasefire, we often fail to understand. We're tempted to ask, are you still in control? Lord, we do not have the answers, yet you have invited us to pray. And so we come, offering our faltering prayers to you, believing, even if only a little bit at times, that you are listening and you will act. We bring the many, many needs of the world to you now. Those we see in the news and those seen only by you. You see the pain and you see the suffering, and yet we know and we trust that you are Lord. Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, help us to keep trusting your faithfulness. Lord of the universe, we thank you for all the beauty in our world. We think of the new growth blooming at the start of spring. We are amazed by the incredible night sky, the stars, the planets, everything we can see and everything that is beyond our comprehension. All of it crafted by your hands. All of it upheld by you. Lord, as we look at the stars, help us to remember your promise to Abraham and your promises to us. Abraham never saw the full fruit of the promises, and yet he carried on following your word. We may not understand, we may be confused, but help us, whenever we see the night sky, to remember that you are a faithful God. Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, help us to keep trusting your faithfulness. Lord, sometimes our problems and troubles seem insurmountable. We can't see a way through. We can't understand why. We think of those we know who are in pain, awaiting a diagnosis, struggling with anxiety and depression, facing a long, hard road to recovery, and those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, a job, an opportunity, those who live on the edge of society. We pray especially for Jack, Rosemary, Chris, Mary, Brian, Derek, Anne, Hilary, Brenda, Roy, Andrew, Paul, Colin, Stephen, Mandy, Brian, Anne, Gerald, Tania, Martin, Roger, Ian, David, and for Rackenford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. We remember the family and friends of those who have recently died. David Lee, Sue Vegas, Olive Blackford, Shirley Hutter, Robert Butler, Shirley Lee. Lord, we don't know why, and sometimes we're afraid to ask in case you think we're losing our faith. But we know that when times are tough, we need you evermore. We need to cling tightly to you, just as you hold us firmly and safely in your arms. Help us to trust that even if the now is really, really hard, the not yet will be good, because you are a good God. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, help us to keep trusting your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for the times when we have glimpses of your glory, when we have seen your promises coming true, even when we didn't expect it. We think of all the good things that have happened to us or our families this week, and we pause to smile. We thank you for good news stories, for those unexpected moments of joy, maybe from people who don't normally have much to do with us, for fun, for laughter, for a job well done. We thank you that you are with us in these small moments, as well as the life-changing situations. As we prepare to go into the coming week, help us to look forward to travelling with you. Go before us, Lord, and light our way. Help us to see you in the trivial and the timeless, in the life-changing and the mundane. Keep us from following our own feeble footsteps, but instead, lead us on and take us to where you're going. Lord, surprise us with your presence. Startle us with answers to our unspoken prayers. Bring us back here next week with stories to tell of your goodness. Lord, as we wait for your promises to be fulfilled, Help us to keep trusting your faithfulness and to keep following your wonderful, winding, challenging path. Amen.
Amen.
The Collect for the Second Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, you have kept your promises to your people throughout the ages. Send us out with renewed confidence that you are faithful to your word. Help us to see signs that you are at work in our lives and in the wider world this week. In Jesus' name, Amen. And may Christ give us grace to grow in holiness, to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those we love and pray for, today and always. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much, everyone. Sue, we didn't hear you yelp at all. Well done. I hope you all have a good week. I don't know what you're off to
Thank
do
you.
today, but may it be good.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Have a
Thank
good day
you.
yourself.
Thank you
Bye,
so
everybody. Bye.
Bye.
The best
Bye, everyone.
to you, Chris. Bye.
Bye,
Bye.
bye. God bless.
Bye,
God bless.
Liz.
Bye.
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 Have a good day,
Farewell.
Sue.
Bye.